they wanted a couple days off. So that's how that happens probably. We're going to continue our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We left off last week with the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, specifically in salvation and the gifts of the Spirit. Tonight we're going to probably deal with one more aspect of how the Holy Spirit is highlighted in the Old Testament, and then transition into the Spirit's work in relationship to Christ, specifically the anointing of the Lord. But tonight we're going to look at some Old Testament prophecies concerning the Spirit. You'll notice that we probably spend 90% of our time when we talk about prophecy relating either to the first advent of Jesus Christ when He came the first time, or to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very little is ever said about the work of the Holy Spirit as He's revealed in prophetic passages. So tonight we're going to look at a few of those. Certainly not going to be exhaustive, but turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61, and this will also kind of tie in with the next facet of our study, the Spirit's relationship to the work of Jesus Christ in His humanity, because He was highly involved in the anointing of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 61. This, of course, is a prophecy regarding Jesus Christ. This is what He says. Verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." But here we find Jesus Christ having the Spirit of God upon Him to anoint Him, empower Him in His earthly ministry. And of course, this verse is referred to in Luke chapter 4, where the Lord said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," at least partially. Now, there are also the prophecy of the Spirit's descent on the day of Pentecost. Turn over to Joel chapter 2. And I believe that when this prophecy of the Spirit was partially fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, it will be fully fulfilled in the second advent. But it says in Joel chapter 2, right after Hosea, it's right before Amos. Joel chapter 2, look at verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." And of course, this is referred to in the book of Acts. And again, it's referring to the work of the Spirit when He empowers the first New Testament church. Then there's prophecies that concern the work of the Spirit during the reign of Jesus Christ on the earth when He comes in His second advent. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. In verse 1, Isaiah chapter 11. And verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's referring to Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Again, this gives you an indication when the Spirit will be working in and with and through the Lord Jesus during the millennial reign, where it says in verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I believe the Spirit of God and his ministry is one of the reasons why the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters that cover the sea. That has never been true in human history, but it will be in the work of the Spirit in the millennial reign. And then there are prophecies concerning the future work of the Holy Spirit with the Jews. Recently I had to answer a question about Ezekiel 37. This is a perfect picture of the restoration of the nation of Israel. I believe that God still has a purpose with Israel, and that he is literally going to regenerate them and give them spiritual life. They're going to be saved just like you and I are saved by the power of the Spirit enlightening their minds and eyes and heart to Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. But in Ezekiel 37, we have a prophecy regarding something that probably before the 1900s, people would have thought it's impossible for the Jews to ever be restored, for the Israelites to ever go back to their land. But this prophecy is coming true. But read it. Let's look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Now that there is the work of the Spirit in inspiring this prophet. Notice that language. And carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. That's a picture of regeneration. For anybody that's regenerated, we're dead, he speaks life. But he's speaking specifically to the nation of Israel. He says, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I believe that's a picture of the Holy Spirit who's likened to the wind. In John chapter 3, where Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then said he unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. God is making the application here. Son of man, this is who I'm talking about. The whole house of Israel. Why is that language so significant? Because the whole house of Israel had not been together since the times of Rehoboam. You see, Judah and Benjamin had separated themselves from the other 10 tribes. But when God regenerates and restores Israel, he's going to bring them all together, and they're going to be one whole house under one shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Verse 12, therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Here is a spiritual new birth, as well as a restoration to their land, all being done by the instrumentality of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. And ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, that I the Lord have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now look what it says in verse 15. I know we've read a lot of scripture, but I want to bring this out because I think it's really interesting. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of his companions. And join them one to another in one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. God is going to bring them back to completely together. Verse 20, the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. This is the work of the Spirit in regenerating and restoring the nation of Israel, first to God spiritually, secondly to their land in peace, as one nation under the headship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you when this is going to happen. Well, let's look at one more. 39, chapter 28 and 29. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Again, the point here that you should glean is that God is going to save the nation of Israel just like He saved you, by the pouring out of His Spirit, by the regenerating power of the Spirit, bringing you to life and causing you to believe on the Lord Jesus. Now, I think it's expressed with great clarity in Zechariah, perhaps better than anywhere else in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12, this tells you when this is going to happen, when Christ comes again to the earth. It says in verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Now, interestingly enough, this is the very verse that Revelation starts off with regarding the prophecy of Christ coming again. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. He quotes this verse and makes application of it. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." Who was that? The nation of Israel. "And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." So, those are some prophecies relating to the Spirit's work regarding the earthly ministry of Jesus, which we're going to emphasize a little bit more as we go on. The prophecy of the Spirit's descent on the day of Pentecost as partially fulfilled that day. The work of the Spirit among the Jews, and also the work of the Spirit during the reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. Now, we're at least going to get in introduction tonight to the work of the Spirit in relation to Jesus Christ. There's a great deal of depth here. I don't think I can even scratch the surface. The interaction between the persons of the Trinity must always be incomprehensible. It's something that we only know partially. Little bits and pieces are revealed. Yet the relation of God's Spirit to our incarnate Lord is shrouded in mystery. It's difficult to fully comprehend. The Savior was both God and man. He was both weary and yet omnipotent, capable of growth, yet perfect. He was self-sufficient as God, yet in His humiliation, in His humanity, He needed the anointing of the Spirit. So, though we can't comprehend all of that, we can rejoice in what Paul told Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifested in the flesh and justified of the Spirit. The reason why this topic is important, the Spirit's work in relationship to the Lord Jesus, it becomes evident when we consider that both titles referring to Jesus, the title of Christ and Messiah, both mean anointed. Jesus is the Christ because He was anointed with the oil of the Spirit in a preeminent way. And this is referred to in the New Testament. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, where you find the apostle showing you the superiority of Christ over angels and over men. In verse 7, and of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son He saith. By the way, this is a great verse for Jehovah's Witnesses. Here is God the Father calling God the Son God. He saith unto the, but unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. God anointed Him with the oil of gladness as the Christ. Turn over with me to John chapter 3 and verse 34. For He whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He had the immeasurable presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit upon His life and ministry. By the way, this John the Baptist is the one talking here. He must increase, but I must decrease. That'll help you understand Acts chapter 19, when those disciples said that they were the disciples of John. They said they had never even so much heard of the Holy Spirit, and yet John spoke of the Holy Spirit. So there's an indication they may not have been true disciples of John anyway. Which is why they need to be rebaptized. And then, if you would, look at Acts 10:38. Again, the Spirit anointing Christ in His humanity, empowering Him. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God the Spirit empowered the Lord Jesus to heal, to do good, to cast out devils. Now, the Old Testament had a lot to say about Christ as the anointed one that was to come in prophecy. Turn over to Psalms chapter 45. Now, you're going to see a word, the word set. And it comes from a Hebrew word for anointed. Psalm 45. In verse 6. By the way, this is what's quoted in Hebrews 1. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All right, and then chapter 2, Psalm chapter 2, and verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Interestingly enough, in the Old Testament, the king, a Hebrew king, was not crowned. He was anointed as king. Jesus Christ is anointed by the Spirit as the king. And that word set up means anointed. And you'll see that the Lord was ordained to this position. Ordained, set up before the world began. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 23. Proverbs 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up. I was anointed from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So even in the solitude of eternity, when only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwelt in union, Jesus Christ was anointed by the Spirit and determined by God the Father to be the one that would be king, prophet, priest, and king. So before the creation, our Lord was foreordained to be the Christ, to be the anointed one. And then you see this also in type in the Old Testament anointings. In the Old Testament, men were anointed to the offices of prophet, priest, and king. And this typology finds its antitype or fulfillment in the Savior, the anointed of God. We've already read about Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, where Christ is anointed as the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach glad tidings of good things. He's also anointed as the Christ of God as our priest. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then also anointed as king, we read Isaiah chapter 11, and also chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. So, the work of the Spirit in this anointing of the Lord Jesus as the Christ was from the foundation of the world. It was manifested, and we're going to see this next week, in the birth of the Lord, in the incarnation. It's the work of the Spirit that brought about the conception of the Lord Jesus. But we'll look at that next week more in depth. So we'll stop there for tonight.